Hi, this is Kurt Mortensen, and welcome to the series on trust. As we know, there's no trust, there's no influence, there's no persuasion, there's no deal. You could have the best product in the world, the best service, the best idea, but if they don't like you and they don't trust you, there is no persuasion, there is no business. Persuasion, of course, is what you do and what you say, the techniques. Influence is who you are, a higher form of persuasion, and that's where trust fits in. You see, trust is a critical part of persuasion. Well, let me just break the news to you. We live in a day and an age when people are more skeptical and mistrustful more than ever before. You see, 20 years ago, the mindset was, I trust you, give me a reason not to. Now it's almost, I don't trust you, give me a reason why I should. It's no secret that trust is an all-time low. Gone are the days when there was a kind of a baseline of trust. And no matter where you're coming from, there's a lot of distrust. In fact, a Gallup poll found that the majority of people feel that you can't be too careful when dealing with other people. Another study found that only 4% of respondents felt complete trust when they were working with any persuader that had contacted them in the last 24 months. So what does this mean to you? As a persuader, well, it means quite a bit. The first thing is you need to assume, and I know you shouldn't do that, but don't assume that people trust you. Just because you're a good person, just because you're a trustworthy person, does not mean people trust you. You know, many persuaders think that because they are trustworthy, that they should get trust. I'm sorry, it should be true, but it's not reality. In fact, I conducted a study and I monitored persuasive situations, and they didn't know I was watching, so there's a persuader and a prospect. Okay, they're going back and forth, and afterwards I interview the persuader and say, okay, did they trust you? And about 9 out of 10 times, they would say, yes, trust, they're calling me back. Okay? Then I'd talk to the prospect. Was there any trust? And only 1 out of 10 times was there trust. That is self-perception bias right there. So it's safer to assume, there's that word again, that your audience lumps you in with the rest of the world that doesn't trust you. Don't take it for granted. Don't think that they trust you. You need to earn and develop an instant trust that's genuine and lasting. Bottom line is this. Great persuaders establish instant trust. That's how it works. Understand also that to get others to trust you, you must trust yourself. To be convincing in others, you must be convinced yourself. When someone tries to influence us, in our minds, you know how it works. We say, well, can I trust this person? Do I believe him? Is she really concerned about me? We are less likely to be influenced if we sense that the person's trying to persuade us is driven by their self-interest, because when there's that self-interest, we know there's something in it for them, and the trust level drops. You see, trust is a glue that holds the entire persuasion process together. Again, you can know the most about your product or service, have the best deal, but no trust, no persuasion. Trust is created when you put your audience's interests and wants before your own. Many times trust comes when your audience feels you're predictable. For some people, trust is a leap of faith. They simply want to kind of believe in your intentions. Research shows that deep down people want, they want to trust others. So that's the key here. Don't assume that they trust you. Just because you're a trustworthy person doesn't mean that you gain trust. And your audience is kind of feeling you out, trying to discern, okay, can I trust him? It's an instant thing almost. What is it, 30 seconds? I like this person, I don't like this person, I trust this person, I don't trust this person. It's a sliding scale. What that means is that your goal is to be perceived in that first 30 seconds. Let's spend this series talking about trust, how to gain that trust, how to keep that trust. That is critical to your success. Because what happens out there? Trust tends to be more critical when it's the very first time that you've ever met them and no one's introduced you or no one's recommended you. Or maybe there's a misunderstanding or misconception about your industry or about your product or about your service. Again, doesn't matter if it's fair, we're talking about reality here. Maybe they've never heard of you or your product. Maybe your company's unknown to them. Or maybe you or your company made the first contact. Or the company you represent has a very poor history. So what we're finding is that trust is magnified or diminished based on your occupation or profession. Medical professionals enjoy higher trust levels than, say, lawyers. Again, doesn't matter if it's fair, we're talking about reality. We've noticed that in the last 5 years, trust has almost dropped 6%. It's dropping fast. Do you know where you rank? Do you want to know? Do you? Let me give you a few of the numbers. We run these numbers every year. Here are a few of the numbers. Pharmacists, top of the list, usually up there with firefighters, at 64%. That's a very, very top. Clergy at 59, medical doctors 57, college teachers 53, police 49. See that? College teachers at 53, that's an F. Police at 49, that's kind of a love-hate relationship. Bankers at 30, journalists at 22, business executives at 21. Do you see yourself? Should we keep going or you just want me to sugarcoat it? Let's keep going. Stockbrokers at 19, Congress at 17, real estate investors or agents coming around 16, chiropractors at 15, lawyers at 14, insurance sales at 11, advertisers are at 10, network marketing at 9. Okay, a lot of people before you've blown it. Doesn't matter whether it's fair. Car sales, bottom list at 5%. What is it about trust that'll make a huge difference in your success? And so this series, I'm actually talking about the 5 C's of trust. Do you want to know what they are? Do you really want to learn how to master trust? And let me do a little example for you. Let's say I move into your neighborhood and I need to find a dentist I can trust. And I go to a neighbor and they say, oh, no, a great dentist has great character. Good person, belongs to my church group. They're just not very competent, though. Last time I was there, they stuck a needle completely through my cheek. Then you go to another neighbor. Oh, I know a great dentist, competent, graduated top of the class, best in the state. Nobody does it better. They just don't have much character, though. And last time, well, just put it this way. You'll have to wait a few weeks for them to get out of jail for insurance fraud. But you'll need one filling. They'll put in 2 and they'll bill you for 3, but the best fillings you ever get. Any trust? Of course not. Then there's confidence. Can you imagine sitting in a dental chair, you have your paper bib on, the dentist comes walking in, puts the x-rays in, like you have an idea, but they do it anyway, and the dentist says something like this. I don't know. You know, I'm looking at this thinking you need a root canal right here. You know, come on, give me your opinion. What do you think? You're running. No trust. Next one's credibility. Can you imagine driving around town seeing a sign that said family dentist? You're like, that sounds good. You go in, you see a degree on the wall from a university you've never heard of. You see a sign that says cash only, no checks, no credit cards, no insurance. And the dentist comes out in a black leather jacket, okay, and an actual tool belt with a drill and a hammer. Yeah, it's going to freak you out a little bit. You would run. The last one's congruence. We know that people believe you're actions more than their words. There was an actual study done with dentists. They put a little thing in the newspaper for people to come to get paid to endure a painful dental procedure. And the shocking part there is that they showed up and they brought all the dentists in the room. They said, okay, this time what we want you to do is administer a placebo. Tell them it's a painkiller. Do everything that you normally do. Let's see how many people feel pain. So the dentist went up there, did everything they normally did. But these patients were screaming and feeling a lot of pain. Obviously, it was a placebo. So the next time, they brought the dentist in the room and said, same procedure, different patients. This time, it's not a placebo. It's an actual painkiller. Do everything exactly the same. So the dentist went in, did everything exactly the same. But what the dentist did not know, it was a placebo again. In the second batch of patients, most of them did not feel pain. Why? We pick up on things. The dentist thought it was real, so he acted like it was real, even though he thought he was doing it the same in both situations. Critical. So over this series, we're going to talk about character, competence, confidence, credibility, and congruence. No trust, no persuasion. Period. End of story. So think about it. What's really harmful to your trust? Well, being unreliable, obviously. Big complaint is over-promising and under-delivering. Covering up failures and weaknesses, blaming others, shifting responsibility, those are close. Exhibiting apathy for others, not really caring, being indifferent, never apologizing because it's never your fault. Embellishing, deceiving, lying to make your point. Or when people are highly emotional and very unpredictable, the trust level goes down dramatically. So as you take a look at this list, there are some things you're doing and probably don't even know that you're doing. Take, for example, being apathetic or indifferent. You probably don't mean to do that, or maybe you prejudged, or maybe you are trying to do that, or embellishing. A lot of these things you come across that way, whether they're true or not, it's how you come across, and they do destroy, and they are very harmful to trust. So in the series of trust, we're going to focus on the five C's of trust. The first one, of course, is character. That's you on the inside. We're going to spend some time with that next time. There's competence. Now, that's your knowledge, your intelligence, your ability. That is not necessarily true, or what I mean, it's more of a perception of you. Confidence, and people cross the line, it's coming across as arrogant or condescending. There's credibility. Maybe you don't have any. Maybe you need some. Maybe you need to borrow some. We'll talk about that. Then, of course, congruence. They will always remember your actions more than your words. Those are the things that we'll be focusing on as we go through this series on trust. And now for some homework. I said it. Yes, homework. You got to do some homework. And I want you to focus on blaming others. Even though you're in denial, well, I don't do that. You do. Studies show that you do and don't even know it, because the human brain needs to be right. And you look for ways that it's always right. And in the process, you blame others. So I want you to be aware this week. And instead of giving you 100 tools at once, we just do one a week, apply it, use it. Be aware. That's the biggest part of it. Be aware that you're blaming others. You're pointing the fingers. You're shifting responsibilities. You're covering things up. This happens. So first of all, be aware that you're doing it. And quit doing it. Now, this could also include demeaning the competition, making fun of other people. There's just something about that that really diminishes people's ability to trust you. It might be true. It might be fun. Whatever it is, doesn't matter. Be very careful that you don't do that. So a simple thing this week, I want you, first of all, be aware of blaming others and don't do it. And also be aware of when you meet people for the first time this week, how fast you trust or distrust them and what you can pick up on that's causing that trust or distrust. And that'll really help you out as we start getting into the five C's of trust. Because trust is the trump card. When people trust you, there is no persuasion resistance. When people trust you, the doors of influence swing open. When people trust you, they are much easier to persuade and influence.